Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 64 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 62 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 60 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 61 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 57 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 57 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 58 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Sunny. 56 degrees.
Hey, Beatwise. Foo! Foo you too. Or Foo Man too. What's up? Yeah, man, I'll tell you, I don't know if I could adjust to that. That's a lot of driving.
Yeah, luckily I only have to do it a couple times a week. Probably get pretty old pretty fast and then to do it 5 days a week.
That's true. But, what did you say it was, about an hour and a half? No. Yeah, about an hour and a half.
It's usually about an hour. It's, with no traffic, it's 50 minutes. But when you got all the obstruction and whatnot, it's usually about an hour, hour 10.
I guess that's not too bad. Hell, I got a half hour and I don't even leave town.
Yeah, I mean, when we were in Macomb Township, it was probably that to get to work, too. But I was, you know, going 5 miles an hour, stopped most of that time.
Yep. Yeah, I think the longest regular commute I've ever had was about 45 minutes. I was working out in Livonia, south of 96 on, I think it was on Farmington or Middle Belt, I don't know. So, it was one of them last ones before you get to leave on 275, all that stuff. It's one of the last couple. So that was a cruise. I used to take Davison a lot, which was exciting, but the most direct route.
Yeah, mine was in Iowa. It was 80 miles one way. we were living in Cedar Rapids, and I had a job in Dubuque, which is at the Illinois-Wisconsin border with Iowa. And 80 miles, but I'd get on the highway from my house, and you know, I live like right off the highway, so I get on the highway, and the work was right off that same road, so get on the highway and drive for an hour, and you were there.
How in the heck did you end up in Iowa?
I graduated in 2008 when every engineer in the state was out of a job.
Okay. That's crazy. So you found work in Iowa. There you go. How long did that gig last?
I was there about 3 years. Two jobs are about a year and a half each. The one that brought me to Cedar Rapids, they went to India for the work that we were doing, so we had to end up finding a different job, and a few of the guys that were at the office I was at found this other company, so we were carpooling out there.
I take it the first one was in Des Moines. I was going to say, because that was going to be one of my other questions, why the heck did you buy a place in Des Moines if you were working in Dubuque? But that was the second job that you were already there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was just Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, like another hour west. But we were in Cedar Rapids, and that was a funny thing. It was a small engineering firm. There was about 12 of us in the office, and 6 of us were from Michigan. And the one guy from Michigan went to high school with my mom.
Small world. Well, I gotta ask, if you were in Cedar Rapids, did you visit the Collins Museum?
I don't know if there really was a museum to visit. I was working for Rockwell Collins. We were contracted to do their drawings, so we weren't actually Rockwell Collins, but we had contractor badges, and we were logging into their systems, and that was our only customer, and then they started giving their work to the guys in India, giving our work to the guys in India, so we ended up with nothing to do but twiddle our thumbs, and if you're not working, you're not getting paid.
Yeah, the wonderful All Ships Will Rise outsource. Who didn't see that coming? All ships ain't gonna ride. It's more like Ross Perot said, it's a giant sucking sound.
Yeah, it was our fortunate thing is we were turning out better quality work than they were, but they were cheaper, and the bean counter one.
That's right. Is it good enough? You don't care about whether it's good. Is it good enough? So crazy. No, but anyhow, that might have been before your ham radio days, was it? I don't know. When did you get your license with respect to all this?
Yeah, that would have been before the days. I think I got my check in, I think it was 2017 or 2018, but I'm pretty sure it's 2017.
All right, yeah, so your awareness of working for Rockwell Collins and its ties to ham radio would have been less, unless somebody put it in your face, you wouldn't be probably thinking about it.
I was aware of ham radio and kind of, was aware of where I was working, but there was not much radio going on there anymore. It's all avionics.
Right, but somewhere as a corporation there has to be a, I don't know if it'd be a museum, but some little piece of that Art Collins history. I mean, he was a legend in that industry. Literally. He's probably more legendary in that than he, well, I don't know, that's tough to say. But, of course, the Ham Radio stuff was just Collins, right? No, Rockwell, that's right. The Meatball stuff was Rockwell Collins. I don't know. It's a huge, huge part of their history. W8FU.
Hey, Bailey. Yeah, I'm not sure on the history, but I don't remember hearing of any sort of museum or anything that you need to look at their past. Heck, we don't even really have our museum anymore. You used to be able to go look at all the cars and Walter's tools and all that stuff. But now it's for special events only.
You ever been down to the T-Flex down in Detroit, the old Ford factory where the Model T's rolled?
You talking about the Cat Avenue or whatever?
That's the one.
I've been in the building, but not for that. I didn't see any of that side of the building. We were, I was volunteering for, what is it, some organization. They pick up, it's free bikes for kids. They pick up bikes, people that don't want them anymore, and mechanics run through them, fix them up, get them ready, and give them to kids that need bikes. And I was volunteering in that building to work, run through some bikes, do the initial stuff, and then you give it to the mechanic, and then they make sure you did it right.
That sounds cool. That's a good project. But, did you know Rachel Keith, Megan's, like, best friend? Did you know her?
Yeah, we've been to her brewery.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. I know it was right about all that. Well, Megan's known her since she was a toddler, but I know that you guys were all hanging out. But, she got married there. Megan actually set it all up. And it was probably, to this day, the coolest wedding I've ever been to. Don't tell Megan, because hers was pretty cool, too. But that T-Flex one was off the chart. That thing was great. I don't know if they still do it the way they did it, then. But, everything was done on one of the floors of the plant. And they gave you free rein. You could grab a drink and just go walking around. Things were roped off. You couldn't really get back to. But you could literally get, you could literally sit in some of the cars. And like, there was, they had a section where they had the old cars. They had a little lab section where, with all the tools from, that Henry Ford would have been using to work on the earliest cars. And it was really cool. With the big old freight elevator, you pull into the center of the complex, take the freight elevator up to the wedding and the reception, and then you're free to kind of walk around the complex. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be cool. We were just in like a big warehouse. They had like the whole first floor. It was, I'll send you a picture of all the bikes they had. They probably had thousands of bikes. It was crazy. It was a cool thing to do. I did it once and haven't gotten back to doing it. But it was one of those volunteer things that not very many people can do. They don't have the skills for it,
Right. Gotta be able to put them together safely. But, very cool. I like that. It seems like a good one. So, and there's plenty of decent bikes I see pitched all the time. So, gotta work out. All right, I gotta go through the drive-thru here. Oh, nope, somebody got in ahead of me. So I'm next up at the drive-thru.
Yeah, they do all sorts of like collection events, and you know, all these companies will host these collection events. They'll gather up all the bikes and bring them to that warehouse, and then I think it's for Christmas they give all the bikes out to the kids.
Next up at the window here, but Chris, I'm having you. Sounds like they got an order. Do you run the other band, or the other service, I should say, in your work vehicle? I'm just curious.
No, I don't have any radios with me for that. I've got a couple of dedicated GM REST HTs, and then I've got, I think my 5K and my DMR radio have it programmed, but I don't have any of those with me.
Oh my God, some people are so unaware of other human beings in their vicinity. Some woman in a big old truck. She wants to be, she's next in line at the drive-thru, completely oblivious to the fact that she's blocking everyone from getting out of the parking lot, getting into the parking lot, you know, because she's got to be, you know, the next one. Well, most people would kind of hang back a little, leaving a gap, you know, so that people leaving the parking lot or coming into the parking lot could get through. But no, not this woman. No, sir. Too important for that.
She's just oblivious how big her truck is.
Yeah. It is one of my pet peeves, although that one is not as, not quite. The real peeve with me is the people that pull up in front of the main entrance to a place, like a shopping center or store or something like that, and they stop their car right in front of the door so that the person that they're with can jump right out and go into the store, and then they just sit there, you know? And I'm just like, that one just absolutely drives me up the wall. I just can't stand it. I'm going to say something. I got in a road rage incident with somebody over at Starbucks, in fact, about a month or two ago, a month and a half ago. I mean, they raged, not me. I just pointed out what I, you know, and told them what a thoughtless piece of shit they were, and they didn't like that.
Yeah, you get the people that stop at the door and they're just, instead of being ready to jump and run, they're, oh, let me grab my bag, put my coat on, unbuckle, put the map away, pretty up my hair, okay, now I'll get out.
I, that one is annoying, but that one doesn't trigger me. You know, if the person, you know, the driver is sitting there waiting, and the person in the passenger seat, the one they're dropping off or picking up, is taking their time to get out, that one doesn't bother me. They pulled up to let somebody jump out, right, and that person's taking longer than they should. That one I give a pass. You know, just mildly annoying. It's the one that's just, you know, they're just sitting there, and they're usually on their phone, looking down at their phone, and they're sitting there, cars running, you know, and whoever it is they're waiting for is, you know, is just not even there. They're inside. And clearly, they're just going to, you know, take their time, go do their shopping, get what they want, go through the checkout and all that, and they're going to sit right there in front of the door. You know, couldn't you just have the wherewithal to just go, you know, put it in the parking lot and watch, and when the person comes out, then pull up? You know, no, you got to sit right there. And it just, ugh, just anyhow. Drives me up the wall.
I had at least circle the parking lot. Yeah. You had to do that for some reason, and it was like Walmart or something. I had to or Myers, I don't remember where. You know, waiting by the door, like not in front of it, but like off to the side, you know, and. Like a police officer came with my ex-wife. She was waiting in the car and like made her move because I guess that's a tactic for the shoplifters, is the getaway driver sits at the door and they'll pop out and hop in the car and be gone.
She said, do I look like a shoplifter, you bitch? All right, anyhow, Lance, I'm at work, so I'm going to get inside here. I'll probably be on my other radio shortly. If not, travel safe. We'll catch you a little later. After yours, W8FU.
Alrighty,
I still got 30 minutes.
I'll see 7-3, so you need to be at lunch. WBAD monitoring. Good morning. 0800 hours. Sunny. 58 degrees.
WAPAP.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Sunny. 64 degrees. Good morning. 1000 hours. Sunny. 69 degrees.
NAKB mobile. NAKB.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Sunny. 73 degrees. Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Sunny. 79 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly sunny. 80 degrees.
NAKBB.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly sunny. 79 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Partly sunny. 81 degrees.
Build that server. December 2018, Carol. 2024? Yeah, but I'm on 2019 still for everything, so. It's not end of life yet. Oh, the old, ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, I'm going to 2022, but for right now I'm still in 2019. You gotta do it, each revision at a time? Well, it's a month, so I had two licenses sitting here for 2019, so I'm using the licenses I already had.
License to kill.
Yeah, we've got the extended support contract for them, so I'm good till next year. Do you need a license for, like, an Ubuntu server or whatever? No, but this server is not, this is Hyper-V, because we're running Windows. So Hyper-V gets installed, and then Active Directory and Windows File Server. All that IT stuff I pretend to know what I'm talking about? Yeah, if I had my way, we'd still be in
the Ubuntu.
I'd be all Linux, but yeah.
Lance, are you going on about Ubuntu again?
Well, yeah. I've been running Ubuntu myself. Getting ready for the Windows 10 end of life. Yeah, all the new workstations I'm putting out for all the new West offices are all Windows 11 based, so. I've got my test Windows 11 instances up for different departments, you know. One guy in graphics, one guy in sales, editorial, admin, so everything's gone great. It's just now we decided to buy these companies, so now I got pulled off of that project. So once I get all this stuff deployed and done in the new offices and then migrated over, I'll do the Windows 11 mass upgrade for the rest of the workstations. Yeah, I've seen some people at work have Windows 11, but mine's still on Win 10. My personal laptop just doesn't make the cutoff for Windows supporting it. So I guess there's a workaround to new Windows 11, but I haven't tried it yet. I don't know if I'm going to do it or just stick with Ubuntu. Well, and that's going to be my problem. It looks like about 3/4 of my end-user workstations will take it. In fact, my RMM keeps trying to, when I do patches, it's like 140 computers can take Windows 11. I want to push this, and I say, and I have been suppressing it. So I'm going to, one of these days, I'll just not suppress it anymore. So I'm probably going to have about 40 or 50 workstations that aren't going to take Windows 11, which is fine, so I'll just, get them new ones.
Yeah, I think the big thing I'll miss is any of, CPS stuff and CAD that I won't be able to really do in Linux, so that's kind of what's making me want to stay with it, the specs on my computer would run Windows 11, it just isn't in their special list.
Yeah, Sean, has your IT guys pushed you guys on 11 yet for your programming laptops?
No, we make those calls ourselves. Our IT department has nothing to do with our shop laptops. We get two IT supplied computers, one general one for the shop and one I have to have to do specific work related stuff, but three.
Let's see, I got one person I asked to do a bunch of stuff to. But basically, we stay clear of their stuff with a 10-foot pole.
Well, that's nice, but IT doesn't get up your ass about it.
We don't want nothing from them, and they don't get it for us. We buy our own stuff out of our own budget. Now, hell with them. Don't touch our stuff.
So, Win98 machine on the network?
Oh, we're not allowed on their network. So, that's the trade-off. Which, fine.
Yeah, you're not allowed on my network. Get off my network.
Get off my lawn.
Well,
I'll
give you a number and says it'll be delivered by 7 p.m. tonight. So
we want to get a vigil on and have us go with the key scan product that they sell. And I got no real complaints. They both make a commercial grade, security grade product. So, okay. So they're going to buy it, you know, on their contract through them. And now they want to get their hands in it. And today I got a call. And it's like the guy wants to come out and start doing these sites on September 3rd. You know, they're letting us know. I go, wait a minute, time out. You're letting us know you're going to come work on my site. That's not going to happen. I want to talk to the company that's doing the installation directly. We will plan the deployment. I've got partners, et cetera, and all that. Oh, well, we really need to be, you know, that has to go through us. I'm like, keep the money. I don't want it anymore. Hung up.
Okay, Stanley Double. Stanley Double, what? All right, I don't want to get her chomp, sorry. I was going to ask you something, Sean, but I got to ask you to Slack, so I'll wait till you get home. Or when you get home, hit my button on OIP.
All right, I'll be home in about 20 minutes. I'll give you a bump.
He wants you to play with his butt.
Come on, yeah,
I was
going to
get a bump. Red last night. And I was like, ooh, should I push it? It's like 11 o'clock. Should I push his button?
We were over on the FBI conference room.
Oh, I need to program a button for that, I guess. I don't know. I should be able to do that. Once I find the number, you have to tell me the number. You need to see your knock, too.
Yep, we got a couple of them. There's a Who Cares conference room, FBI conference room. Captain Don's got a space camp conference room. Eric's got a grumpy technicians conference room. We got about four conference rooms. But we were just drinking and going on about getting breakfast in the FBI conference room last night.
The last couple nights I've been down here playing, so. Of course, I've been talking with Brother Mikey on analog, which is kind of nice. So, I woke up this morning, took my pills, and then went back to bed until about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And I woke up, I'm like, the UPS hasn't ringed my doorbell to wake me up yet. Like, I guess I better get up.
They rang the bell and it didn't wake you up.
No, I've checked. They haven't shown up.
My T-Mobile 5G internet is waiting for me at home.
Ew.
It's a backup service. No other service required, so it's standalone. As long as you automatic pay every month, they knock $5 off and you get it for $20 a month. I get a 5G backup. It's a backup. If you want their full 5G unlimited, it's 40, which ain't horrible. But for 20, they'll give you 130 gigabytes of backup. That means I could lose my internet for up to 4 days at the rate I use data. And I don't lose it 4 days a month. Hell, if I lose it a day every couple of three, 4 months. So, $20 for insurance, but we'll see. More than anything, I want to just try it out.
I think I'm going to... Comcast keeps wanting me to sign a 5-year agreement. So I'm going to see what it'll cost to downgrade from the 1.2 to the 800, because the 800 has the same 40 meg upload on the commercial right now, it looks like. So I'm going to see what that cost is, and if the cost is enough to where I can justify it, I think I'm going to drop down to the, from the 1.2 to the 800 and add Starlink, so that I have the backup for the Starlink, because the cellular is not going to work here. I have LTE now, but yeah, the one bar of cellular I'm getting on the directional antenna and 3 megabits, it's useless, really. Don't call me dead zone.
Lance is in a dead zone. Yeah, no, you got to have good signal. That's the thing. I should be okay. We'll see. You know, I get 15 days to just send it back if it don't work, but I better get good speeds with it. What do you, what does 5G translate into? You know, what do you see out of a good 5G connection? Do you know that offhand?
The problem is it depends on the backhaul of the tower, because there's all sorts of modulation flavors with 5G. All
right, I got my boss just messaged me to call him,
so I'll be back. WFSM. Hey, Dale. Yeah, looks like T-Mobile from my place. I know you haven't left.
Hey,
Dale. Yay, they returned my phone call.
Your colonoscopy off?
Yeah. So my pictures all came out.
Said you're full of crap.
If you get a colonoscopy and they find you to be full of crap, you did something wrong.
Oh, you're supposed to drink that stuff before.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours.
I find for a really, really exciting experience,
degrees.
Drink it like about 3 or 4 hours before the colonoscopy instead of 24 hours in advance like they suggest. You'll have explosive fun.
Yeah, leave them guessing. They might push the wrong button and you'll get a shower.
I'm trying to program somebody's radios. Pro bono, free of charge. Called them a couple of times today, and they finally got back with me. It's like, hey, man, don't take a freebie.
That business or pleasure radios?
Oh, a day job. We have something we want to get. We need to... We've got a plan. We want to get it into action, and so we're gonna do a pro bono. It has to do with our neighbor, you know, recently coming online. So we want to get all their stuff into the radios, particularly in the north, where their mutual aid is a very important thing.
Yeah. Dragging their feet, though?
No, he's just busy. So, had training and stuff going on, so I think we'll get her done. Whereas, you know, there's all sorts of grade of service concerns and things like that we have to be very cognizant of, so we're doing a slow roll from north down, you know, so as to have the minimal impact to start, and we can do some metrics and see how things have happened, what happened, and all that stuff, and create the all the graphs and the data points we need to sound like we know what we're talking about.
Can you stop my bonking, damn it? I need a channel grant.
Yeah, it's funny. When I call you, I'll tell you how the conversation went with me and Keith and our friends at the in Lansing.
They were on the ball the other night. I sent an email or in request for an event talk group. Went in, and it was, Sunday night. 3 minutes later, I got one assigned. So I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, they're just sitting there with their thumb in their ear?
And you would think, with all that cachet you have with Brooksy, you'd be, like, top of the list.
They're like that last year, aren't they? You had them right away, too.
Be right back. Somebody's calling.
W8FU.
Hey,
Dateline. I still shake my head when I see a great big billboard that says House of Dank.
Yeah, that's Michigan. That's the semi-pro soccer game here, and the practice jerseys got the local pot shop on them for their title sponsor.
That's pretty funny. So, you would think that they would sponsor the disc golf league or the skateboard crew or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I know one of the girls' friends, their parents own one of the they paid for all their friends to go up to the water park in Mount Pleasant and got them hotel rooms, and it was the reason my old got a cell phone is because she's going on this big epic birthday party.
So I'm going by the Fa place right by my house, Fa Thai. Man, I could go for a bowl of Fa. I just, the carbs, man, the carbs. They're killing me, man.
I can't think of the last time I had Thai food. Probably was when I went to that Fa Thai with you guys, and after probably one of the FBI swaps.
Could be. One of them ones. Remember they used to have them all at UAW Hall there in Madison Heights by the freeway? Could have been one of those. Everybody was having them there for a while. I'm glad that venue shut down. I like the new one that they're using, and people are changing it up, you know. So when everybody was going to that Union Hall, it was like you couldn't tell. It got so blurry you couldn't tell which is which. Anyhow, I'm making the final approach. I will hear your final, and then I will be clear for a little bit. This has been a W8FU production.
Yeah, I think we went after one of the FBI swaps here, the FOP or the Barbecue Bob's or something. But, I don't know. I haven't really been in a swap since. Never really saw anything I would ever want. And it was always kind of everybody else's junk and overpriced junk. They wanted prices for a new radio for some junk. All right,
7-3. You got to go more. I've bought plenty at swaps, gotten some really good deals. So just you got to watch. There are people that want tons, but there's good deals to be had too. All right, catch you in a bit. I'll be in a few.
WBAD monitoring.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, partly sunny, 82 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours, mostly cloudy. 79 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 79 degrees.
WAEAP. KFA EXS. This is WAEAP. Nothing heard from KFA EXS. This is WAEAP. KFA EXS. This is WAEAP. NAKPP Mobile. W8FU.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 74 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Mostly clear. 70 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Mostly clear. 67 degrees.
Jump on the four tractors, go across the street, and finish cleaning up the mess that me and a neighbor made yesterday, which I told him I was going to do. I said, I'll bring the tractor over with the blade on the front and the blade on the back. I said, never can have all the small shit that we left on the ground. I said, I'll just plow it all up and push it off into the brush pile. I know I had a backhoe over there yesterday, but the backhoe's got a cab and a back thingy on it, and it does it well in the, you know, in the woods.
Is it all done?
Yeah, I got everything done that we had moved out. I sent him a message earlier today and told him we needed to finish. He put it in a couple years ago and the poles are still there. Some of the chicken wire. I need to pull those poles and take the chicken wire and push it into the brush pile with the rest of the chicken wire. But I fired up the tractor,
you know, the Ford 3000 that I've got. I made it across the road. I made it up the driveway, partway up to the driveway.
Good evening.
And the tractor just
23
died.
Hours.
So,
clear.
It cranked, no fire,
degrees.
No start.
Oh, so what was it? I should have gotten fixed by now.
Yeah, but you know, there's always going to be a long story before that.
So, you know, here I am in the middle of a private drive with four houses on it. The tractor's blocking the whole driveway. Nobody can get around either side of it. So I thought to myself, how am I going to do this? Oh, I know how I'll do it. I'll just crank the tractor until I get it off to someplace. So I just cranked up the starter with it in low range and moved the tractor off the driveway. I had to move it, you know, about 100 feet. Get someplace wide enough where people could get around it. Then I thought to myself, what am I going to do now? There's only me. And you got I got minimal tools. So I thought to myself, I know, I'll walk home. It's, you know, quarter mile. Walk home, grab a test light, a voltmeter, and go back over. So I did. The points were not closing.
Rusty point hit or something?
No, they burnt. They just had a good layer of burnt. So I couldn't work on it where it was at, so I opted to come home and get the backhoe. So I come home and got the backhoe, and I hooked it up to the front of the tractor, front of the backhoe up there, front of the tractor, and I drove the tractor, the backhoe forward, pushing the tractor backwards, and drove it the rest of the way down the driveway that way until I got out on the 36. And when I got out on the 36, I aimed the tractor toward Mason so I could go backwards, and I just backed all the way to my house from across the street with the backhoe, with the bucket still attached to the Ford, you know, the Ford 3000. I got it home that way. Then once I got it home, I peeled off the distributor cap and got to looking at the points.
Did you file them, or did you have to put a new set in?
I just grabbed some memory sandpaper and sanded the crap out of them. I pulled them out, cleaned them, put them back in. Then I immediately went in the house and ordered an electronic ignition conversion kit for it. Homie, you're not playing that game twice.
Curious. How much does just curious what the conversion kit costs these days?
Well, that's the funny part, because I bought one for my 8N Ford, and I got one for $25. I think I told you, but the one for the tractor was like $120.
Hey, that's quite a difference.
Well, the cheap Chinese company didn't make one for a three-cylinder Ford. They make them for the four-cylinder Ford, but not for the three-cylinder Ford. So that'll get here tomorrow. I don't know if it'll get installed tomorrow, but it'll be here tomorrow. Kind of had a stupid feeling. I forgot it was a three-cylinder, and I pulled off two spark plug wires on the one side of the distributor cap. You can't see the back side of the cap very well. It's you got to be like Houdini to put the clips back on it. And I forgot what I was going to say. So I only labeled the two spark plug wires, and then I realized, oh, dummy, this ain't a four-cylinder, it's only a three-cylinder, so you might as well just yank the other wire off, too. So once I yanked the wire off, I could get the cap the rest of the way out, and I could see the points a little bit better, you know. Now I just had to find, you know, a foot-long regular screwdriver.
What year is that tractor?
That one's a 1970.
Those blue and white tractors, kind of common?
Yeah. Yeah, they were common until Holland bought Ford out. So that's what happened to all the Ford tractors. They became Holland tractors.
know much about them, but I hear they're pretty good tractors.
Yeah, it works pretty good. I mean, I like the Ford. I like that tractor. It pushes like a bulldozer. You know, it's got a back blade on it and a blade on the front, so, you know, if I can't push it with the front blade, I can always scrape it with the back. But, oh well. So, yeah, after I got it going, I drove back over there, went back there and straightened out everything I said I was straightening out for him. So, didn't drop no trees on myself today, so that was a good thing. I did call, Abbott Labs and complained to them about the my glucose sensors, my Libra 2 sensors. I've lost two of them in the last week that just basically got knocked off my arms because the band is, you know, the glue that they used on them when they manufactured them wasn't very, very consistent. So they told me they'd send me two new ones to replace those two. I just give them the serial numbers off the ones that get wiped out. And then I'll be damned if I didn't grab the, I had one left. So I thought to myself, well, I'll stick the one that I got left on my arm to, you know, get 14 days out of it. I says, the other ones will be here in, you know, 5 days. So I'd have a sensor. Somehow or another, I managed to find a blood vessel.
Bleed pretty good?
Yeah, so the way these sensors work, I don't know if you've ever seen them. You set the sensor down in a cup. It's a two-part cup. You snap the two sections of the cup together. You put it up against your arm, and you just slap it, and it pierces your arm real quick and puts the sensor in there. And there's a little hole right in the very center of the sensor. Well, that hole became a faucet.
Was it a vein or an artery? Probably a vein.
Yeah, it was just a vein. A vein. You know, it just keeps a bit of blood out. So I had to take a picture of it. So, you know, if Abbott Labs wanted to know why I peeled it off, I could show them this is why I peeled it off. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with those things. You know, they've really helped me as far as getting my sugar under the control, but they are a pain in the ass.
Gotta be kicking your, better than kicking yourself 3 or 4 times a day, huh?
Yes, it is.
Often, if you didn't have that, how often would you have to stick yourself a day?
Like you said, 3 or 4 times a day.
How long does this monitor last? Is it good for a day, a couple days?
14 days. You have to change it every 14 days.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good trade-off to me.
Well, like I said, I have a love or hate relationship with them, you know. I'm totally honest. They've helped me immensely. Before I had them, my A1C was, you know, 10, 11, sometimes so high that they couldn't even measure it. After I got the sensor and learned what foods my body could tolerate, which foods my body couldn't tolerate, I was able to get it down to, you know, low 7s, high 6s.
That's good. Awesome.
Of course, you know, it was a game to get the sensors because they don't want to give them to you. What you have to do to get the sensors paid for so you can get them is you have to take 4 readings a day for a month straight.
I get it. I guess he's my brother-in-law. My wife's sister's husband, he's diabetic. I don't know if he takes insulin. He's kind of quiet about it, but he's awful about stuff. I mean, he's constantly scarfing donuts and chocolate milk and all kinds of stuff. He's going to be due for some serious.
Well, I'll tell you, Lance, it's a battle because I'll let him turn the radio off. That's a battle because when your blood sugar dips so low, you have to have the sweets to keep it up. So it's like a never-ending battle.
I'm not sure how all that works. I always assumed his blood sugar was high, and then he has to take medicine to bring it down, and then he's constantly, you know, going with the sweets, and it just seems, I don't know, I just don't understand well enough, and I guess I'm thankful I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, well, Mike will get to the point to where he'll dive so low, and that he'll actually just start sweating out, and then he'll have to, it gets bad. And he's got to dump a bunch of sweets into his body to raise it back up.
Just, you know, taking something to lower it and then just trying to keep yourself balanced because, you know, your body's doing one thing, your medicine's doing another.
Exactly. I use two different insulin. One's an 8-hour fast-acting insulin and the other one's slow-acting insulin. Or 8-hour slow. 8 hours is the slow-acting insulin. The other one's a fast-acting insulin that I'm supposed to do, you know, like an hour before meals. So, you know, what inadvertently happens is that I'll do the one I'm supposed to do before meals. Something will come up. My meal will get delayed. I won't get to eat it when I'm supposed to eat it. And then my sugar will die because I took it when I was supposed to before I ate and I didn't eat.
How long before they link your monitor with an insulin pump or something where you can just, like, kind of like not have to worry about it and have this thing do it for you? Is that foreseeable?
Oh, they've already got them out. I'm just, as long as I can maintain it the way I'm going to stay doing it this way. But yeah, they've got insulin pumps out.
His has actually gotten a lot better since he got the strips or whatever they call them that he's telling you about. He can actually figure it out and manage it more better.
I mean, that's all a good thing. I mean, I've known people in the past and who've had, you know, issues with it, couldn't keep it managed and, you know, lost toes and so on. It's bad. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you're keeping track of it and doing good with it.
Yeah, like his A1C and everything is down, and, I mean, you know, but it's hard. It's hard to, I'll say, like today, I worked till 3 in the morning the last 2 days. So I woke up, and I'm like, hey, you want a steak? And he's like, no, I need to eat now. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Picture, Mike. Yowch.
That was after I cleaned my arm off.
Well, so anyways, I'll give you a quick rundown. I ended up shutting my line down. I texted you right after he told me to, and I did a quick shutdown, so, I was, you know, wasn't going to stick around. Purged the barrel all the way out, but I did get the barrel pretty much 90% purged out, so. But anyways, the quality girl, Kaylee, and the Line 3 operator girl, the one they just gave the job to, all called in tonight. And Aaron, the big wig in the front office, got chewed out for having people safe, i.e. me, and working overtime. Because the big rig in Whitmore Lake said, no, you guys are too far ahead. You don't need to have people staying and working overtime, meaning they don't want to pay it. So my line got shut down and line 3 got shut down and we all got sent home.
Seems like I made that comment yesterday, doesn't it?
Yep. I mean, then from what I heard last night when I was working over was that And it's the government contracts right now are the only things that's keeping them alive, and other than that, nothing else is selling.
Did the girl who's been calling in, and she called in again tonight?
Yep, sure did.
I'm going to let you get away with that.
Well, she's only 19, and we have a feeling that she just wants them to fire her so she can just collect some unemployment and go do what she wants for a while. You know, she's young.
I get it. That sort of makes sense in a sick sort of way.
Well, it went as far as, like I said to Grace tonight, our quality lady. You know, she's young, she knows how to play the game. You know, so that's what she's doing in my mind, you know. Because she gave everybody a sob story that she lived on her own and she was going to school, and then she started working with us. And so she was going to school during the day, leaving and coming to work. So we gave her a work, like, open house right after she graduated, you know, an open house at work. And she made out like a bandit. Well, then 4 months later, she starts passing cards around that she was going to have another open house. And everybody's like, no, we're not going. And I mean, you know, not to be rude, but, you know, we don't really know anybody else, and so nobody else showed up at her work thing, or her other open house that she had. And my boss was like, she's just, like, double-dipping. That's all she's doing.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he was like, we already had a party for her. I'm not driving clear down here on a weekend to go. So, yeah, that's the conclusion we're all drawing to. She just wants to collect unemployment and go do her own thing for a while. Or the way she walked in the last time she came to work, we all kind of wondered if she was stripping for a living.
Got a second job.
Oh, trust me, you couldn't get that shirt any more around them boobs, and that skirt ain't shorter.
Mike, are you still planning on going to the hospital this week?
Well, I'll explain it to you this way. Remember how we had a discussion about the phone systems being down? Or their computer systems being down, or their phones are operated by computers. I tried a couple times to talk to people today, and I didn't get anywhere. I got one more contact I can try tomorrow. I'll try a little earlier in the day. They said, you know, with no computers, we can't even transfer you to the maintenance department. I was like, okay. So Lance, the minute I get a time, I'll send it to you.
I'll be there. I'll figure something out.
Well, I doubt it will happen tomorrow. I'll put it to you that way.
That's all right. I have a couple meetings tomorrow. It's not one of those long and drawn-out meetings that you just constantly looking at your watch, hoping it'll get over with.
I got the switch in today.
Part of that, Mike.
I did go for a 60-mile motorcycle ride today, though.
Well, cool. Did you get your ice cream? Not you, but the kid.
Yeah, I got a small ice cream. She got an ice cream, too. And she got a T-shirt. She doesn't like the T-shirt. It's too long, and she wants to take it back. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that wasn't happening.
She'll live with it.
we rode through Ulster Pinckney up in the Howell. Stopped, I got her a pop in Howell, and then we took Howell Road to a couple of back roads and came home.
Oh, cool. I'm sure she was happy about it.
Yep, that went over good until I started my next project, and then she wanted me to take her to... Well, started out, she wanted me to take her to, the Nickel. And she says, I know, you won't get what you want for food there. I said, no, it's fine. I said, if you want to go to the Nickel and eat, I said, I'll go to the Nickel with you. I said, I'll order myself a set of fries, an order of fries. I'll just sit there and pick up the fries while you eat your food. And then I said, can you give me 5 minutes? So I was in the middle of doing something with the tractor. And she said, yeah. So I came back up. She said, well, I changed my mind. I said, okay, now where do you want to go? And she said, well, I want to go to McDonald's. So we walked into McDonald's at 9 o'clock. She placed the order and we sat down. And we sat there for 25 minutes. Sat there for another 10 minutes. It was 35 minutes. And then they finally brought the food out. I got out to the car, opened all my stuff up, and guess what?
The wrong stuff.
Cold, ice cold.
I would have took it back in and put it right back on that counter.
That's the kind of thing at Arby's where I was stopped to get they had a deal where you could get a couple hamburgers and a couple of those shakes. And so you get in the drive-thru and they hand you the shakes. And now bear in mind, it's like 95 degrees outside. And they tell you, well, pull forward, it'll be out in 2 minutes. Or, we had to make your fries. So I pull forward, and I'm waiting there for about 15 minutes, and there's no other cars there, and these shakes are melted into soup. So I packed the car up to the window and said, I didn't want soup, I wanted shakes. So I need these replaced.
I don't blame you. I took all the nuggets back in. She had 10-piece, I had a 10-piece, she had a fry, I had a fry. I took my nuggets back in and my fries back in. And I presented them to him. I said, you made me wait, over a half hour for cold food. I said, that's not happening. I said, you can have the stuff back. I said, you can make me fresh and you can bring me a manager.
Well, it's true. That's a crack and a half, So they can make you fresh or they bring you a manager?
The manager came up to the front, but she gave him an ass chewing and told him that he knows better than to serve the food when it gets like that. She said, you make them fresh. You make them everything fresh. So I made him give me 20-piece nuggets and fresh fries, too. Made them drop the fresh fries.
Well, good.
So, Lance, I'm proud of you. I'm not the only one that's an a-hole when it comes to getting orders straightened out.
Don't worry about, what happens when they walk away.
And I double with you part of that. I just said I'm proud of you. I thought I was the only one that became an a-hole when I don't get my food my way. I send it back. I'm not afraid. I tell them, you know what? I pay good money for this. I want it the way I want it.
I agree with that, but I think sometimes I worry about what happens when they turn around and walk away and get out of sight.
It'd be another loss. So the kid got a cheeseburger, 2 large fries, and 20-piece chicken nugget for dinner tonight.
What McDonald's was this, by the way?
This is McDonald's right on Cedar Street in Mason.
Busy that time? That you had to wait over a half hour for food?
There was zero customers in the drive-thru and zero customers in the store. And there was one more set of guys there, and they waited just as long as we did.
Over a lot of these restaurants have just gone to hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for a while there, I quit going to Popeyes because it took an hour to get through the drive-thru. That was when Percy Bean owned the ones in Lansing. He don't own them anymore.
So the same guy owned but one in Logan was always terrible. This new one on Cedar has been pretty good, as far as I know. Every time I've gone there, I've done okay.
Percy owned the one on Logan, and he was going to build the one on Saginaw, the one on Cedar Street. There was supposed to be one in East Lansing and one in Jackson. He was going to own all of them, but he misran the one on MLK so bad that they yanked his franchise from him, so all the other stores ended up being bought out and owned by a corporate.
I believe that. I used to love Popeyes, but, you know, you'd go there and they'd be out of everything. I mean, you had a chicken. It's a chicken restaurant, for God's sake.
Yep, I had a meeting, you know, this is me, my wife laughs about it. I had a meeting with the district manager from Popeyes and had a talk with him. He told me that the problem was is they needed like $5,000 budgeted for, you know, supplies, and he wouldn't give them the $5,000. He'd only give them $3,000. So every week they'd have to figure out what they were going to go without.
Ridiculous. Well, I haven't been to the one in Logan in a long time, so if that guy doesn't own it anymore, it's got a new owner, I assume they're doing better now, it's safe to go there?
I haven't been there since the other one's opened. I used to get in screaming matches with the manager there. You know, that was when Percy owned it. Like I said, I ended up with Percy's personal cell phone number, okay, so when I had problems, he didn't like it when I called him.
The last thing he wants to do is deal with customers, for God's sake.
I guarantee you, within a minute and a half of me talking to Percy, I got a phone call from a manager every single time. And the managers always begged me not to call Percy anymore. They would say, call me at this number. I'll handle it. Don't call him.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Feels about 64 degrees out tonight.
Yeah, I haven't even been outside. Well, I take that back. I was out for a couple of minutes walking to the mailbox and back.
You know, I gardened a little bit. I took trash down. Don't take it over there. Trash is down. Okay, yeah, she's going for a walk. An empty water bottle she's going to throw in the trash. It's down at the end of the driveway. Yeah, I took the trash down, worked on a few things around here. I'm trying, and it's, you know, you're a gadget guy. What I'm trying to do right now is I've got a one bottom plow that goes to something. It goes to a garden tractor of some sort, but I'm not sure what it is. I'm trying to rig it up on the back of one of my bigger tractors so I can pull it around and do a furrow. I need to bury some wire, and that would be an easy way to do it. Just be the trench where I want the wire to go, and then put the wire in it, and then flip the dirt back on top of it.
That ought to work.
Well, I need to do it for myself, but if it works for myself, I'm going to do it for the neighbor across the street, too. So he's running a couple hundred foot of yellow and orange extension cords to his gazebo and his swimming pool. He's constantly popping the circuit breakers because of it. I told him, well, if I get this and it works out, we'll run a heavy run down to where his swimming pool is and just put a pole in the ground there with an outlet on it, you know. We'll do the same thing at the gazebo.
Hey, I looked into that. I spent a few minutes today researching that, making an all-star note out of my DMR hotspot, and Fred was right, it's not going to work. That MMDVM is not really compatible, but looks like there's a couple options. I might look into doing that.
There you go. I know what I never asked you. Did you ever figure out the dosing for the capsules?
Really, I don't know if you did it right. I did work out, but not so much. I put pretty size drops into the capsules and then a couple of them, but I think she found three of them. And the next night. And then she tried three of them, and they just didn't seem to have much of an effect.
Yeah, what I noticed when I did it a couple of days ago is it seemed like it took an awful long time to kick in, like 3 hours. I was kind of surprised.
Tried to experiment with a coconut oil. That stuff is mostly fat soluble. I think you really need to have some fat in your system. And I think having some coconut oil probably really helped that.
That might be why it took so long for it to kick in when I did it, because I probably didn't eat anything when I took the capsule. It was probably, 2 hours later and I put actual food in my body and then it could absorb it.
One of the things we noticed is that, we got it in the syringe, we got it heated up, and got it so it, comes out of the syringe, but it doesn't really want to come out in a drop, let's say, where you can, look at a drop and watch it go in. It just, it comes out a little bit, and once it hits that cap, it's sort of a smear, so it's really hard to judge how much.
Yeah, it's got to be really, really hot to stay really liquidy. If not, it turns into a hash oil.
I had it pretty hot, but I don't know. Just kind of had a hard time. Just didn't do more, I guess. You just get it right from the bottom. It kind of appeared on the side. It was just sort of, how much was in there.
Damn newbies and your challenges.
I've researched a while ago. But I, from what I remember, the standard dose was supposed to be like a grain of rice, the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah, well, normally two drops will make it so I don't want to drive anywhere.
Well, we were at the camper when we did this. We didn't have all the good tools, but we'll try it again.
There you go. I hope I sleep good tonight. My wife was frantically running around here watering all her plants. I looked at her and I said, "You realize it's going to rain for the next 3 days.
Never know. It's supposed to rain all day tomorrow. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They call for rain, but it looks like it's spotty showers and evening showers and so on. So I'm not really sure how much it's going to rain.
Have you figured out when you're going to assemble your tree crew?
I'm negative. I haven't heard from Cliff. I'll probably see him this weekend. I'm guessing this week's out just because of the rain, but I'll see him this weekend. He's got a camper next door to me, so we'll get it figured out.
Roger. Yep. PM showers tomorrow, AM on Friday.
We had cases where it's called for rain and we didn't get any rain. We had cases where we're not supposed to get any rain and had nothing but rain. I mean, I don't know. Read in the news today, and this sort of makes sense. I guess we had a geomagnetic storm over the weekend. I didn't even realize that. That might explain why the UHF was bad. Now, I guess they normally don't affect UHF that much, but I mean, it sure raises the noise floor, and I was marginal to start with.
Yeah, UHF's flaky anyway.
supposedly a bad one, for whatever bad is, but I guess it killed a lot of HF.
All right, I think I'm going to shut up for a few minutes and talk to the wifey. And she's been working close, so we haven't really been doing any communicating. Just, you know, the hallway sex, you know. After you get out of my way, I'm going to the bathroom before I pee myself.
Roger, my HT's flashing the low battery at me, so I guess it's been about a week, so I guess I better go charge it anyways. So I'm going to jump off.
All right, if I hear something, I'll send it to you. If it rains out, it'll give me the push to work on the radio stuff in the house here, too, so I can get the repeaters together. Take care, hand it over to you.
73 to you. Talk to you later. NAWOT clear.